Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Father, we thank you for the Holy Communion. We know that this is a perfect picture of your perfect grace. And it's also a perfect picture of your perfect love towards us. It's the most intimate expression of your love for us that we can have. Your communion. We look at the body of Christ and we see how his perfect sinless body was beaten and bruised for us. We look at that perfect body of Christ on the cross. We can see the stripes on his back. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Father, we see everywhere where his body was pierced. And he shed his blood to redeem us. And Father, we look at that perfect sacrifice of yours. And we see all of our sins and all of our sicknesses laid on Jesus. And he took all of your wrath. The wrath that was meant for us for breaking the law. Jesus took it. Even though he never broke the law. And he set us free. So we're taking this broken body for our healing and our well-being in Jesus' name. We honor the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that shed blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is so pure and so perfect that it never died and it never will. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into your presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up in your Bibles to John chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, in that verse, you can draw a line right down the middle of that verse. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. God gets blamed for a lot of things that he didn't do. Jesus came down here and he set the record straight once and for all. And in fact, when he said, I am, he was identifying himself with God. See, you can't separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they're one. And we can't get our minds wrapped around that. We can only believe that in our hearts. They are three, but they are one. They will always agree. But here's what they agree on for you. You just as well get in agreement with them. He said, down here, this is Jesus talking. He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That means even more than what you can imagine. Super abundant. Having too much. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to have too much. Why does he want you to have too much? So you can give it away. See, he's not interested in how much money you can save. He's interested in how much you can give away. I like what my pastor said. There's more where that came from. And that's true of God. He gives you something. There's more where that came from. He wants to get it to you, but he's got to be able to get it through you. You know, there's two seas in the Middle East. One is the Sea of Galilee. One is the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea, I can't think of anything that grows in that thing. I can't think of anything that lives in that sea. There's water. There's fresh water flowing into that place. But nothing goes out. There's one little stream you can see on the map, but it leads to nothing. And it's just dead. There's an abundance of water flowing into it, but nothing goes out. But you look at the Sea of Galilee. There's water flowing in that, but there's water flowing out. And there's all kinds of fish in that. It supports all kinds of life. It supports people. It supports everything. See, you can only keep what you have by giving it away. Have you ever thought of that? You can only keep what you have by giving it away. How many times have you seen people latch onto something only to lose it? But a liberal soul will be made fat. That's the Bible truth. And that blessings flowing out means blessings flowing in. You're going to receive it first from Christ so you can let it flow out. I want you to open up to Psalms chapter 13, verse 6. Psalm chapter 13, verse 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. How many expect God to be bountiful towards you? Now, wait a minute. I didn't ask you how many of you want God to be bountiful with you. I asked you how many expect God to be bountiful. A lot of people want God to be bountiful towards them, but they don't expect it. See, you have to believe the promises of God to expect God to be bountiful towards you. When you receive a strong revelation of the cross, you will receive an overabundance from Jesus. Your blessings are in Christ Jesus. They're all wrapped up in Him. And you're going to have to get a revelation of the cross in order to get those bountiful blessings to flow through you. When you realize what Jesus did for you by grace, that will cause faith to happen in your heart. So many times people get born again and they still think that there's something between them and God. You know, I don't know, I was born again and I thought I was just born again just enough to get to heaven. I didn't think I qualified for any special blessings. I didn't think I qualified for any healing. But a lot of the things that I really, really needed, I didn't think I qualified. I thought I was just forgiven just enough to get to heaven. There's a lot of people in that boat. You know, I got my fire insurance. I really don't deserve anything else. You're right. You really don't deserve anything. But by His grace and because of His work on the cross, you are 100% qualified for everything. Outside of your works. When you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you got put into right standing with Him. That's what righteousness means. A lot of people run around preaching righteousness is right doing. That is not true. Righteousness is right standing. You're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did, not you. Amen. Because of what He did. Now, whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Your sins got remitted. You've been made white as wool. In the eyes of God, you have been made perfect. How can I say that? Because He doesn't look directly at you. He looks at the sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament, there's types and shadows of Jesus all over in there. There's pictures of us. When somebody took an offering to the altar, the high priest would inspect it, put it on the altar. He'd inspect it first to make sure it's perfect. Put it on the altar. Smoke would go up to heaven. And if God accepted the sacrifice, He accepted the man. He didn't look at the man, He looked at the sacrifice. Jesus, our high priest, our perfect sacrifice, is the one that God is looking at when He's dealing with you. How do you suppose He sees Jesus today? Absolutely perfect. That's how He sees you. But I made this mistake. But the blood of Jesus. But I did this last week. But the blood of Jesus. But how can He see me perfect? Because He's looking at the sacrifice. Amen? This is important to understand and get a revelation of. If you want the bountiful blessings of God. And now look. Got to get your minds wrapped around this. When I'm talking about bountiful blessings, I'm not just talking about cash. See, healing can be a blessing. Believe me. When you feel terrible, there's nothing you want more than have the blessing of healing flowing through your body. peace of mind can be a blessing. When you're, you know, when it seems like the whole world is crashing down around you and everybody's against you, you know, and you got all these thoughts and all these emotions, all these things going on, you can have peace in Christ Jesus. Actually, he's an anchor for our soul. That's our hope. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's an anchor for our soul. We have hope in Christ. You see, when you run into a man that has lost all hope, that guy is a suicide watch. But see, as long as you keep your hope in Christ, you always have a chance. Amen? Even though we may face insurmountable odds at some time, we still have an anchor for our soul, and his name is Jesus. We must believe that we have a miracle-working God that still works miracles for us. Amen? Here's the cool thing about God. You may not know this. Every time you run into these impossible situations where it's the end of the world, where nothing you can think of is going to help you get out of this mess that you're in, it's absolutely impossible. I don't know how we're going to survive. You need to just stop. Turn around and look back at your life and look at all the impossible situations that God has brought you through. And you'll realize that he has a 100% track record of bringing you through impossible situations. If you're still alive, he's still 100%. And guess what? Even if you do exit this earth, you're in the presence of God himself. How bad can that be? There, you can't lose. So you just as well charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun, your mouth loaded with the words of faith. The impossible situations are only impossible to us. The Bible tells us with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's an interesting thing about people. Is people are creatures of habit. People do the same thing every day. People sit in the same place in church every Sunday. You know, people tend to go to breakfast the same time every morning. Normal people like me tend to go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. The crazy ones are sorting cows with a flashlight. Hello. People get in these routines and these habits, and it's comfortable and it's familiar, and they don't like to not do that. Because all of a sudden things are different, and now they got to think on their toes. See, God doesn't want us to necessarily be in that same bubble every time. As Christians, we get into these comfort zones. You know, I know the rules. I got my circle made out. I can live like this. God wants us to expand our bubbles. People don't want to expand their bubbles. God wants us to expand our bubbles. Here's the thing about expanding our bubble and getting out of our comfort zone. It will cause us to lean on Him and operate by faith. It will cause us to do something that maybe we don't understand. It will cause us to step around that corner even though we don't know nothing about what's on the other side of that corner. We don't know what's around the corner, but we're going to do it anyway. We don't have any answers. We don't have the finances. We don't have whatever in our natural resources. We don't have it. But we're going to depend on God, and He's going to do it for us. Amen? See, that's the thing about faith. It doesn't really take faith to do something that's familiar to you. It doesn't really take faith to do something you already have the answer for. It doesn't really take faith to do something that you already have the finances for in your account. That's just meeting the need out of your own natural resources. But it does take faith to step out and do something that you have no answers for. You're not really sure how you're going to accomplish it. You're not sure where the finances are going to come from other than from Him. You don't know how He's going to get them finances to you, but it's really none of your business. Your job is just to step out and do what He asked you to do. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Let's stop right there. We all want grace and peace to be multiplied to us, don't we? The only way that's going to happen, the Bible says, is through the knowledge of Jesus. A lot of times when we need something, we get to focusing on that particular thing. Let's say if we need healing, we get to focusing on healing. If we need money, we get to focusing on money. If we need whatever it is we need, we get to focusing on that need instead of the answer. And the answer is Jesus. The more we know of Him, Jesus told us to learn of Me. You know, your healing is wrapped up in Jesus. Your finances is wrapped up in Jesus. Absolutely everything is wrapped up in Jesus. Grace and peace is multiplied back to you the more you learn of Jesus. Amen? We want a revelation of Him. It's all wrapped up in Him. Now let's get on to the next verse here. "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That covers more than food, clothing, and shelter, doesn't it? Does a car pertain to life and godliness? Sure. How about a wife? Does a wife pertain unto life and godliness? Well, of course. You're walking around missing a rib. She's running around out there somewhere else. You got to go find her. How is that going to come about? Through the knowledge of Him. The more you know of Jesus, the more of these things are going to come your way. It's all wrapped up in Him. It says, Here in verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a really cool verse. He wants you to be partakers of his divine nature. See, Jesus walked in full prosperity. Yes, when he needed money, he told Peter to go fishing. That makes sense, don't it? But see, money's not prosperity. Prosperity is being able to meet every need at any given point in time. See, a leper jumped out in front of Jesus, and what he needed was healing from leprosy. Jesus met that need. There was a multitude at the lakeside that needed fed. Jesus met that need. A blind man came to Jesus one day, and he needed sight. Jesus met that need. Whatever it was that any man needed, when they reached out to him in faith, and they pulled on his mercy and grace, that need was met. If they needed a word of wisdom, he had it. If they needed a word of knowledge, he had it. If they were looking for a prophetic message, he had it. He had whatever it took to meet every need at any given time. That is true prosperity. That is the divine nature of God. And that's what he wants you to partake in. See, we live in a broken world. Have you noticed that? We live in a broken world that needs help getting fixed. You know, there's somebody on the street and they need some food. They're not real interested in you telling them how you got prospered. Maybe they want some food right now. Maybe they need a coat. See, this is where the bountiful blessings come in. You got too much. You got something to give away. Scatter it around. Now let's finish this last verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Jesus did say, learn of me. That's knowledge. When you have knowledge of Jesus, you know, learn of him. The Bible told us to believe on Jesus. How are we going to do this? By finding these new creation realities that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Find these places in there where specific things happened to you. How he made you a new creature in Christ. See, that's a light. Jesus said, let your light so shine. See, we start off when we get born again, that's all we know. That's our light. Go tell somebody you got born again. Let your light shine. And then, you know, eventually you find out how you've been made a new creature in Christ. Eventually you find out how you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let those lights shine. Let those lights shine before men. It drives some people absolutely nuts when I tell them I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, religious people really don't like that. They do not like that. But that's the truth. That is the truth that God laid in the Bible for us. That's one of the building blocks of faith that we have to have firmly set in the foundation of our life. The more we learn of Jesus, the more we know Him. The more we know Him, the more we will receive from Him. Notice in verse 2 up there, where it talks about grace. It says, grace and peace be multiplied. Not works. Grace. It's going to come by grace. Not your good works, but by His grace. And verse 3 says, everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's all going to come by grace. Look to the cross. Everything you need has been met at the cross. It's been paid for freely and given to you freely by His grace. You cannot earn it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Well, we'll start at verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's big words coming from the man that knew everything. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to go after the blesser, not the blessing. Don't chase the blessing. Go to the blesser. The blessing's in Him. Run to Jesus. He's the only one that can meet all your needs. And He has already prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. All you got to do is belly up there and receive from Him. A lot of people want to run in their faith walk when you need to spend more time sitting. The first thing you need to learn about faith is you have to learn how to sit by faith first. When you're sitting down, you're not working. The only thing you can do is receive. Which, in reality, that's all we can do. Receive what has already been freely given to us. We can't earn it. We can only receive it. Did you do anything special to get born again, other than call on the name of the Lord Jesus? I mean, did you qualify yourself in some kind of way? Nothing. All you could do was say, Jesus, be my Lord. You received it. It was already given. It was already paid for. And in fact, God already had your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He was just waiting on you to seal the deal. See, we couldn't do the big thing. We couldn't save ourselves. Why do you insist on trying to do all the other things? See, we can't heal ourselves, but we can receive healing from the healer. we really can't protect ourselves. We can carry guns around, have our fists clenched, but really, in the whole scheme of things, we really can't protect ourselves. We have to run to the Good Shepherd, who has a staff and a rod, to protect us. Let's look at Psalm chapter 23, since we're talking about the Good Shepherd. Verse 1. As the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to notice in verse 6, so goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes they'll even overtake you. They just run right over the top of you. Have you ever had a blessing just happen out of the blue? Just for whatever reason, just somebody just blesses you with a peanut butter pie? Just calls you out of nowhere and says, come by and get a peanut butter pie. That's a blessing. I wasn't expecting that. Have you ever had that happen before? Sure, it happens to all of us. Something good happens. Just out of the blue, just something good happens. That's his goodness and mercy. You know, look at the little blessings too. Because they're big blessings in the whole scheme of things. I know we get focused on the big prize. You know, we want the big blessing. Here's the key to the big blessing. Thank God for the little ones. Thank God for the little ones. I know we always want to praise God, but the key, Jesus gave us this key when he was at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you. And then his friend came out of the tomb after 4 days. Thank God for the little things while you're waiting on the big things. Thank God for everything. John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I think we're going to stop right there, because we're not going to get through the rest of the notes. We'll carry this on next Sunday. So Father, we thank you for all the many bountiful, abundant blessings that you have already bestowed upon us. All of them that we don't even deserve. But we qualify for because of the shed blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus does for us. And if you just have to bless somebody, go ahead and bless us. We'll receive it. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us as our high priest, who is always making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time, so that right things can happen to us and we receive more of your bountiful blessings. Father, we thank you for this. We don't have to live by time and chance. We live by the grace of God. And we can always count on Jesus, our high priest, to pray for us so that we can be where we need to be at the right time. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.